All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves in Parshas Vayera. Our shiur tonight is dedicated by Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld in commemoration of the upcoming yahrzeit of Yona's grandfather, Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nesham will have an aliyah and his family in the Chama. So let's begin. So when it comes to Parshas Vayera, the truth is, more often than not, the attention is focused on the Akedah, which of course makes sense, which according to many opinions is the last and final test of Avram Avinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Kachna es bincha es yichidcha asher ahavta, take your one and only son, the one that you love, and offer him up as a karban. The truth is, no matter how many times we read that particular story, it's overwhelming. No matter how many times we read it, we can't really fully comprehend it or wrap our heads around it, because it seems to defy any type of logical explanation. It defies the bounds, meaning all of us like to think that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much. But if you ask a person, what is there something in this world that you love more than God? So although it's hard to say it, but a parent will often say, my child, I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked me to do this, ultimately, again, would I be able to stand up for that test? So halavai, of course, we should never have to think about or answer these questions. But it's clear that part of the greatness of Avraham Avinu is manifest in the fact that the love that he had for God trumped every other love. There was nothing else that Avraham Avinu loved more than the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the end. And that's why, again, essentially, we've spoken about this before, the Akedah is the last thing pretty much we learn about Avraham Avinu in a dynamic fashion. Because by the time we come to next week's parasha, what's already happened? Coming attractions. Right? Sari Imenu dies. By the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah, Sari Imenu dies. And amazingly enough, Rav Soloveitchik points out that after Sarah dies, we don't really see anything more about Avraham Avinu, which is quite fascinating if you think about it. No real dynamic life activity. Why not? So Soloveitchik points out, it's actually a beautiful yisod, nothing to do with our shir tonight, that Avraham and Sarah were a power couple. There was no Avraham without a Sarah, and there was no Sarah without an Avraham. So the moment that Sarah Imenu dies is the moment that Avraham Avinu is essentially, a lot of his productivity, his vigor, his energy, his ability to accomplish, goes to the grave with her. That's why after Sarah dies, pretty much the only thing we know is that Avraham Avinu marries off Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu remarries Keturah, or Hagar, whoever she is, but the Avraham Avinu that we know pretty much ends at the end of this week's parasha. But we're not going to focus on any of that tonight. Instead, what I want to draw your focus to is a part of the parasha that often goes unnoticed, and that often we read through quickly, but we assume doesn't really hold that much dramatic importance. Take a look at number one. This is the beginning of the parasha. Vayira elav Hashem be'elonei mamrei, v'hu yoshei pesach al kechom hayom. God appears to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is in Elonei Mamre. What is Avraham Avinu doing in Elonei Mamre? Because the people who lived in Elonei Mamre were supportive of Avraham Avinu's circumcision that he undertakes in an advanced age. He's recuperating, and he's sitting by the entranceway of the tent, Kechom Ayom, in the heat of the day. Vayisa Inav Vayar. He lifts up his eyes, and he sees, Vinei Shlosha Anoshim Nitzavim Alav. There are three people, three men standing beside him. It doesn't literally mean beside him, it means at a distance, but in proximity to him. Vayar, he sees them. Vayar atzikrasami pesach ha'oel. He runs to greet them from the entrance of the tent. Vayishtachu artan. He bows down. They bow down. Vayomer Adonai, he says, my masters, im namaz asichin be'enecha natavar me'alav decha. Can you do me a favor? Don't leave my home. Don't leave this area without first coming to my tent. Yukachna ma'at mayim. Why don't you take a little bit of water for you, or we'll have some water brought for you. V'rachatzu raglechem. You could wash your feet. V'shanu tachas ha'etz. And you could relax underneath the tree. What's the take-home message of this entire section of the Torah? And again, actually, we learn two dramatic things the Gemara learns out. Number one, we learn about the idea of Bikur Cholin. Because according to Chazal, why is God appearing to Avraham Avinu? If you notice, by the way, what's missing from this section? Vayera alav Hashem, what's missing? I'm sorry? Sarah's missing, that is true. What else is missing? Yitzchak, good. I'm sorry? There's no dialogue. There's no dialogue. It just says God appears to Avram, but there's no dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu. Why not? So Chazal understand, because what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? He's being mevaker chola. Right? He's coming to visit the sick. And the mitzvah of biker cholim is sometimes just what? Being present. You know, there are two times in life where you don't have to know what to say. Visiting the sick and nichum avelim. See, people, people, human beings, we, especially in today's day and age, that we live with so much ongoing and constant communication, silence is very uncomfortable for people, right? There's like a need to tweet or to blog or to speak or to this or to that. But yet we know as we get older that sometimes people don't need my words. They don't need my words. And in fact, sometimes there are not appropriate words. Sometimes all that is necessary is my presence. Sometimes all that is necessary is that I'm here, I'm showing up. And there are two times in life when you're mevakir cholah, sometimes a person goes to visit a sick person. And the truth is, you know, people sometimes say the silliest things, right? Oh, it's so hot out there. You're so lucky you're here. Right? Baruch Hashem, it's 100 degrees. And people say, oh, again, it's well-meaning. But people don't understand. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Again, if you want to say something, the only thing you should possibly say is, what could I do to help you? Is there anything you need? Because the goal is not to say something. The goal, ultimately, again, is that you're present. Nichum aveilim. Sometimes we're so uncomfortable because a person is so quiet, is so broken, so we think we have to break it. You don't have to break the ice. That's what the halacha is. You don't speak until the other speaks to you. Where do we learn this from? We learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God appears to Avraham Avinu, and he doesn't say, hey, what's up? How are things? He doesn't say anything. And trust me, if there's one thing that God is never at a loss for, it's what to say. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam is modeling for us, he appears to Avraham Avinu, it's Bikur Cholim, I'm here. I'm here. If you want to talk, I'm here. If you want to converse, I'm here. If you want to ask me something, I'm here. I'm not going to initiate because you're in incredible discomfort, but I'm here. So from here we learn about Bikur Cholim. We also learn, as was mentioned before, Hachnasas Archim, incredible hospitality. And I don't know why it caught my eye, because I've seen this parasha a couple of times in the past. But what's interesting about this is what I'd like to dwell on tonight, is the specificity that the Torah goes into when it comes to Avraham Avinu's Hachnasas Archim. In other words, the Torah could have just told me, Avraham Avinu is sitting by the entrance of his tent, even though it's blazing hot outside, he goes out, he sees individuals in the distance, he runs to them, welcomes them into his tent. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah, in fact, goes through. So if you look at just number one, Pasuk Dalit, Yukachna ma'at mayim, we'll get you some water. V'rachatzu raglechem, you'll wash your feet. V'shanu tachas ha'etz, you can relax under the tree. And by the way, it doesn't stop there. The Torah Kedusha gives us what? I didn't put it on the sheet, but gives us the menu. The menu. There's bread, and there's tongue, and there's mustard. Why do I need all of this information? If the goal is to teach you about the importance of Hachnasas Archim, hospitality, mission accomplished. Avraham Avinu is on the third day post-circumcision. He's an old man in a lot of pain, yet he's running after guests. Furthermore, he interrupts his conversation with God. In the middle of talking to God, he says, God, stop here for just a moment. Stop here for just a moment.
Alex.
Going on here. Good. So in the middle of going ahead and speaking to God, he goes ahead and he says, I'll be back in a second. Can you imagine that? The Shekhinah Kedosha is sitting there with you and you say, hold on, I'm going to go greet these three strangers. Why the need for the specificity? Why the need for all of the additional information? But before we even answer that, there's one thing we know with absolute clarity, which is that if it's included in the Torah, then what? Then there's a point. Then there's a message as a pathos. So what I'd really like to do tonight is I'd like to focus just on Pasuk Dalet to understand what is the Torah teaching us when Avraham Avinu says, Yukach na ma'at mayim, let's go and get for you a little bit of water, you'll wash your feet and you'll relax under the tree. What's the message that you and I are supposed to take from this pasuk? So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. Take a look at number two. The Medrash writes, Yukach na ma'at mayim. Now, what the Medrash picks up on is the following. If you'll notice, and again, I didn't put all the psukim on the page, there are some things that Avraham Avinu does himself for the guests, and some things that he uses his nar, his lad, who Chazal identify, the rabbis identify as Yishmael, to do for the guests. So the Medrash picks up, actually skip to number three for just a moment. So the Torah Tumino quotes the Medrash in its entirety. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol ma sha'asa Avram l'malachim ba'atzmo, asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'banav ba'atzmo. This is amazing. Whatever Avram did himself for his guests, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for Avram's children himself. God does it by himself as well, not through an emissary. Whatever Avraham Avinu did for his guests through an agent or through an emissary, then So the Medrash creates, tells us that there's an incredible symmetry. Whatever Avram does for the guests himself, God does for us himself as well. Whatever Avram does for his guests through a through an agent, through a shaliach, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us through an agent for through a shaliach as well. For example, the Torah says, Ve'el habakarats. So ultimately, again, the Medrash gives a number of different examples. But if you skip back up now to number two for just a moment, Yukach na ma'atmayim. So for example, Yukach na ma'atmayim literally means what? The English translation, please let a little water be taken. Which indicates to us, what says the Medrash in number two? Al yidei shaliach. Avram did not fetch the water himself. Avram told his lad, told his servant, whether it's Yishmael or someone else, Eliezer, can you please fetch the water? Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lehem mayim al yidei shaliach. Avram served the guests water through an agent. God gives us water in the desert through a shaliach, through an agent. Who's the or what is the agent in the desert? The rock. Shene emar v'kisa batzor. Lechem shenasan al yidei atzmo. But yet when it came to the bread, Avram Avinu got the bread for his guests himself. Therefore what? Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan al yidei atzmo. So just like Avram Avinu fed his guests the bread himself, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us bread directly. What bread is this a reference to? So the Medrash says, the man. So the Ribono Shel Olam gives us man directly, it comes down from the heavens, water, right, because Avraham Avinu served his guests bread directly. Water was given to the guests through an intermediary, God gives us water through an intermediary as well. Very interesting, but what's the message? So if we take a look at number four. So the Torah says, so David HaMelech says in Tehillim, something's quite beautiful. Hashem Shomrecha, God will watch you. And Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yiminecha. So the way we normally translate Hashem Tzilcha is God is your shade. God, like Tzel is shade. God is your shade. Which means what? So what does shade represent? Shade represents, again, shielding me from the elements. It's a hot day. I get a little bit of shade. That shade protects me from the strength of the sun. The Ribono Shel Olam is my shade. He protects me from sometimes the difficulties of life, the difficulties of this world. But if you look at number five, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh understands it a little bit differently. The Baal Shem Tov says, Kasav b'shem Baal Shem Tov, perish ha-pasach Hashem tzilcho, v'haynu kimo, Tzilo shel ha'adam. The Baal Shem Tov says something amazing. He says, Hashem Tzilcha does not mean that God is your shade, but rather it means what? God is your shadow. What does that mean, God is your shadow? Shekemoshu asiyas ha'adam, kenu asiyas ha'tzel. You know, the one great thing about your shadow is what? It's predictable. Why is it predictable? Because whatever you do is what your shadow is going to do. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh suggests that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is an element of reciprocity. What I do is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to me. The way I act is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates. Hashem Tzilcha means the Ribono Shel Olam is my shadow. There is reciprocity in this world. Or in other words, what the Baal Shem Tov is saying is what you put in is what you get out. Sometimes in life we wonder why it is that our dreams don't materialize. Sometimes in life we wonder, why haven't I gotten to the cross the finish lines that I wanted to? I deserve it. I've earned it. You know, we live in a society of entitlement. Everyone deserves everything. So I deserve to have my dreams come true. And then I realize, oh, there's only one problem, which is, I didn't break a sweat. I didn't schwitz. I didn't roll up my sleeves. I didn't really put in that much effort. So if I don't put in a lot of effort, I can't expect to get that much out. I just had this conversation with one of my children, who I won't name in the off chance that they overhear this. One of my daughters came home from school not with the greatest test, with the greatest grade, the most wonderful grade. And the truth is, my wife and I, like, we're not, as long as the children try, Baruch Hashem, whatever you get is great. So my daughter was really upset about her grade. And I said to her, so-and-so, we'll protect the innocents, right? So-and-so, how long did you study? Oh, 22 minutes. 22 minutes. I said, do you think 22 minutes is enough time to study for this test? No, but it was a really good 22 minutes. I said, Shefla, let's learn a very important life lesson here. If you put in 22 minutes of studying, then you will pull out 22 points, which wasn't that much higher than what she got in the grade. Then you will pull out 22 points on your test. What the Torah HaKadosha is trying to teach us is something dramatically amazing. Through this little piece of information, the Torah is saying, Avram, whatever you toil to make happen yourself, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for your children. Whatever you outsourced is what God outsources as well. So in this little pasuk over here, the Torah HaKadosha is teaching us that if you want results in life, you have to be ready to work. If you want results in life, you have to be ready to toil. If you want results in life, you can't outsource or delegate. If you want to advance your life agenda, then you have to take ownership over your circumstances, then you have to put in the effort, and then you have to create beautiful realities for yourself. Now, I want to be clear. Is it wrong that Avraham Avinu asked Yishmael to get the water? No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's totally fine. First of all, he's an older man. As we said before, 3 days post-circumcision. But at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu is just saying, what you put in is what you get out. You're outsourcing the water, I'll outsource the water also. You get the bread yourself, I'll get you the bread yourself as well. These two ideas is, number one, is this is true in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teaching us that our divine, sometimes we wonder to ourselves, I'm not inspired. I want, everybody wants inspiration. As I said before, some people even say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sitting here, I'm on the couch, I'm ready, I'll even put down the remote and fill my soul with inspiration. Fill it with inspiration. It doesn't work that way. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to inspire you, I have to inspire God with my dynamic life activity. There's reciprocity. There's Hashem Tzilcha. I want the Ribbono Shel Olam to fill my heart with His beautiful glory. Wonderful. I have to fill His heart with incredible nachas from me, that I'm living a beautiful life, that I'm accomplishing incredible things. Lesson number one that we learn from just this incredibly innocuous, seemingly unnecessary pasuk is life, you get out what you put in. Life is about reciprocity with the divine, but it's not just with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's with our accomplishments in life. If things don't happen, if things don't materialize, it goes back to kind of what we spoke about this morning. It's easy to assign blame, and it's easy to say it's this one's fault and that one's fault, and this one didn't do this and this one didn't do that. But if we're honest with ourselves, very often the things that we want out of life don't really materialize because we haven't put in enough effort. It is rare that if you put in the requisite effort that you don't get what you want. Maybe you don't get exactly what you want or how you want it. But if you're willing to work, if you're willing to put in the effort, if you're willing to shvitz, if you're willing to roll up your sleeves, then the universe works with the system of reciprocity. Our relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu works with reciprocity, and reaching my goals, allowing my dreams and my aspirations to actualize are also this reciprocity. There's a relationship between the amount of effort I put in and ultimately what I get out. That's message number one. Take a look at number six. Rashi has a different approach. Rashi says, and this is amazing. And again, we're going to do a number of different approaches, and the truth is, they're all correct. Yes?
Does that interpretation lend itself to, like, God is a vending machine? I put in a quarter, I want my soda.
Right. So what I would say is,
I got it, and you didn't give me a shift.
Correct. So what I got it. I don't need any more examples. I understand. Good. Right. So the answer is yes, except it's not just putting in a quarter. You see, with the soda, all you need to do is just take out the change, put it in. Yes, reciprocity could engender that type of imagery, but there's a lot more effort than putting in the quarter. Yes, the message is that if I want something from God, I have to be willing to put in the requisite amount of effort. Now, of course, the caveat to that is, doesn't automatically mean that if you put in the effort, you get exactly what you want. Because who says that what I want is correct? Who says that what I want is what I should have? So there are many different caveats to this. But in a vacuum, I think the message that the Medrash is coming to teach us is Hashem Tzilcha, there's reciprocity in this world. There's reciprocity between your effort and the results. There's reciprocity between my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and me. You're right. It doesn't always, if you put in, you don't always get out what you want, when you want, how you want. But I think it's the only approach to take to life. If you want something, understand the statistical probability for your success is directly related to the amount of effort you're putting in. Take a look at number 6. Rashi says, V'rachatzu ragleichem. So another potential answer. Remember again, Avraham Avinu says, come to the tent, and you'll go ahead and you'll wash your feet. You'll wash your feet. So remember again, yukachna ma'atmayim. Let's bring a little bit of water. This is not drinking water for them. V'rachatzu ragleichem. We'll wash your feet. Again, same question. Why do I need this information? So Rashi says, "Kisavor shima ravim shemishtachim la'avak raglehem." So Avraham Avinu, now why is Avraham Avinu so insistent on washing their feet? Why is he so insistent on washing their feet? Because he thought they were Arabs. He thought they were Arabs. And what was with the Arabs? Shemishtachim la'avak raglehem. That ultimately, again, the Arabs apparently in this time, the Semitic people in this time, went ahead. Many of them worshipped the dirt. By the way, the Maharal of Prague brings down why did they worship dirt? Why dust and dirt? Because if you're a nomadic people, which the Arab nations were at this time, everybody was pretty much nomadic, then what? If the one thing you could find anywhere and everywhere you go is dirt. So the idea is people often, the Maharashi does this whole history of Avodah Zarah, where he says if you look at what people worshipped, very often they worshipped the parts in nature that were most accessible to them. So if you're a nomad, if you're a traveler, if you're a wanderer, dirt is something you encounter every single day. You find yourself under the dominion of the dirt. So therefore, says Rashi, Avram thought that they were Arabs who worshipped the dirt on their feet. V'hikpid sholahachnis avod zara lebeso. And Avram Avinu was makbid. He was careful that there shouldn't be any avod zara brought into his house. So what he says is, listen, I'm going to invite you to the tent. But before you come to the tent, let's go ahead. Let's get some water. Let's wash off the avodah zarah from your feet, and then you'll go and you'll come into the house. Rashi contrasts this with Lot. Avalot shelo hikpid. Lot was not as vigilant. Hikdim lina l'rechitza. Lot says, if you notice again, Lot first invites them into the house, and then only afterwards offers them to wash their feet. Shene emar v'linu v'rachatzu raglechem. So Rashi contrasts something amazing. Avraham Avinu goes ahead and tells them, wash your feet at the door. Don't bring Avodah Zarah into my house. Wash your feet over here, then I'm happy to have you. Lot lets the Avodah Zarah in, and then only afterwards offers them to go ahead and wash their feet. So message number two, or lesson number two of Torah is teaching us, you know what the difference often between an Avram and a Lot is? The influences you allow into your home. What you allow into your house ultimately, again, has a dramatic impact on the kind of person you become, on the kind of family you raise. If you notice, again, the Torah, when it describes Lot, when you read about Lot, what's your impression about Lot? Remember, you have to undo everything you know about Lot. Unlearn it for just 30 seconds. And if I were to ask you to forge an impression about Lot from what you read on him in the Chumash, what would you say?
Not a good person.
Right? I'm sorry? Opportunist. Right? The truth is, if you're honest, when you look at it, not much. We know that he has a falling out with Avraham Avinu between the shepherds, and he chooses to go to a bad place of stone, which doesn't speak too much to his character. But otherwise, it's Parif. For the most part, what we know about Lot is Parif. Remember, again, to his credit, he makes the journey with Avraham from Haran to Canaan. He makes that incredible journey into the unknown. So obviously, he must have been a man who possessed a lot of good. Obviously, we have the whole episode with the incest with his daughters that happens in this week's parasha. But we'll just write that off as poor decision-making. Right, but the idea, the all kidding aside, remember, the messianic line comes from that union. So obviously, again, there's something, we'll save that for next year, but there's something dramatic happening with Lot and his daughters. But leaving that aside, the fundamental difference between Avram and a Lot is the type of home that they created for themselves. You see, home is much more than just a residence. Home is much more than just a domicile. The home is the place where you go to recharge yourself. The home is the place where you go, ultimately, again, to feel comfortable with who you are, with what you are. The home is where not only do you build your mishpacha, but you build yourself there. And that's why a person must be especially vigilant about what they allow into their home. I want to be clear. This is not like a television or movies discussion. I mean, everybody's a big boy and girl. You could decide what you allow into your home. But whatever you do allow, just make sure you understand the consequences. And just make sure you understand the influences that you are inviting. And it's not just television. It's not just movies. It's even, look, We live in an age where even print materials, one has to be careful. Just one has to be vigilant. I'm not suggesting that you become a hermit, live in a cave, and cut yourself off from any type of modern-day communications or entertainment. No, we're adults, but being adults means that we have to be vigilant because what you allow in your home, see, the difference is Lot allowed dirt into his house. And when you allow dirt into the home, when you allow the Avodah Zarah into the home, it shapes who you are, it shapes who your mishpacha is. The greatness of Avram Avinu is something amazing. If you notice, Avram Avinu engaged the Avodah Zarah. He ran to them. He engaged them. He spoke to them. He embraced them. He accepted them, right? If you notice again, it's not like Avram Avinu runs after these three strangers and says, okay, hi guys, Shalom Aleichem, repeat after me. Shema Yisrael, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. Or, did you put on tefillin today? Or, you know, would you like to light Shabbos candles? Like, he didn't say any of that. He accepted people for who they were. He loved people for who they were. But the moment you're going to come into my tent, the moment on the outside, I'll love you for who you are, and I'm not going to ask anything of you. But you're going to come into my tent, you need to wash your feet. You're going to come into the tent, the Ohel. Remember, the Ohel of Avram, the Ohel of Sarah, that was the Ohel of incredible Kedusha. Avram Avinu said, I love you for who you are, but I will not compromise the Kedusha of my home. I will not compromise the Kedusha of my domicile. I will not go ahead and compromise the Kedusha of this beautiful spiritual cocoon that is the Ohel, that is the bias. That's message number two. Be careful what you allow into the house. Because even those things that may appear innocuous, even those things that may appear, it's not such a big deal. It might not be such a big deal now. But ultimately, again, those influences have a way of amplifying their effect once they're in the home. Make sure that the dirt is left at the doorstep and is not brought into the tent. Another message. Number seven. Dradak. Yukach namat maim. So again, I'm just pointing out, I have to thank all of you for allowing me to give this shir because it was Ashkacha Pratis. I don't know why. This pasuk never bothered me before. And it was amazing to see how many beautiful lessons. This is one pasuk out of an entire parsha. And let's be honest, the parsha has many more dramatic episodes than the one I'm sharing with you tonight. But you're going to see lesson after lesson after lesson that emerges just from a simple pasuk. Take a look at number seven, a third message. Yukach na ma'at mayim. So Avraham Avinu says, remember, we've already established that water is being carried by who? Yishmael, the Nar, right? Avraham Avinu is not fetching it himself. He's sending someone else. So Yukach na ma'at mayim. So the Radak picks up on the ma'at. Why does he say, why doesn't he just say yukach na mayim? Or bring you some water. Let me bring you some water. Why yukach na ma'at mayim? Why only a little bit of water? So he says, amar ma'at, lema'it nidivuso befiv, midarach hamusar. So Avraham Avinu purposely only offered them a little bit of water. Why? Get ready for this. Alamayim amar yikach, rotze lomar, al yidei echad min ha'avadim. Because the water, says the Radak, Avraham Avinu wasn't schlepping it himself. The water was being brought by one of the servants. So let me jump out of order for just a moment. When it comes to the bread, Avraham Avinu says, essentially, the ekach paslechem, he offers each of the guests a whole on their own loaf. Their own loaf. But yet by the water, he only offers them a little bit of water. What's the distinction, says the Radak? Listen to this. The distinction is who brought the bread? Avraham Avinu. Who brought the water? The servant, says the Radak, don't be frum on someone else's shoulders. Don't be frum on someone else's back. Don't be pious by putting demands on other people. Avraham Avinu says, listen, it would be a chutzpah for me to offer you a lot of water. Because offering you a lot of water would by definition mean what? That my servants are either schlepping more or that they're going back and forth to the well more often. And that's not right. I'm going to give you a little bit of water. This is not for drinking. It's just for washing your feet. You don't need all that much water. So yukach na ma'at mayim. If I'm bringing it to you myself, please, eat as much as you want. I'm bringing the bread so you can have as much as you want. An incredible, incredible idea. That sometimes, and we spoke about this morning as well, that sometimes when a person is engaged in the process of spiritual growth, you think, a person could sometimes think that they have a license to take liberties with the feelings of others. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing the Lord's work. And if I'm doing the Lord's work, if I'm building my relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I don't have to be so careful with the feelings of the other because God is more important than the feelings of the other. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us is that it's false and incorrect. The Jew never has a license to take liberties with the feelings of the other. You could be doing hachnas asarchim. You could be doing many beautiful things. You must be ever cognizant and conscious of the feelings and of the exertions of this. You know, sometimes we have such beautiful ideas, such grandiose visions, and then we put the work on other people, right? This happens in families. This happens in marriages. If you have a beautiful idea, if it's important, and this goes back to what we said before, if it's important enough, then what? Do it yourself. Then do it yourself. But don't be frum. Don't be pious. Don't try to be great while putting all of the work, all of the onus, and all of the responsibility on the back of the other. Even when you are in a trajectory of spiritual growth, a person must always be cognizant and must always be sensitive to the feelings and ultimately, again, to the exertions of the other. One last lesson for tonight. And with this, we'll close. Take a look at the Radak again in number 8. So again, I just want to point out, I'm not going to bring all of these different approaches together because the truth is they're separate, independent approaches and they're all correct. Hopefully you'll find one of them that speaks to you a little bit more. But what I just can't get over is how all of these incredible, cathartic, comprehensive life lessons are learned out from a pasuk that you and I would often just read and say, okay, that's interesting. Absolutely nothing inspiring, nothing dramatic, nothing even all that interesting over here. And yet, again, we're taking out life lesson after life lesson after life lesson. One last one, then we'll bring it all together. It says Radak again. Vishanu tacha sa'itz. So it's also interesting is if you notice, each of these approaches is focusing on a different part of the pasuk. So the Radak says, Vishanu tacha sa'itz. Now, remember, in Hebrew, there's what's called the Hei HaYediyah. I don't know the good English term for that. Maybe the definite article? Hei HaYediyah means, sometimes when you have a Hei, it means the. Not just an item, but the object. So, for example, the pasuk could have said, V'yishanu tachas eitz, and you'll rest under a tree. But instead it says what? V'yishanu tachas ha'eitz. Ha'eitz means what? The tree. The tree. Almost as if we're not referring to a regular tree over here, but there's something special that's unfolding. What's happening here? So look what the Radak says. Letzel ha'etz, ki chachom ha'yom ha'yos. So first of all, the Radak says, fine, the Radak just says, Avraham Avinu was just telling them that right now you're probably happier to see this tree than you are to see me. Because remember again, it's midday, the sun is blazing, he's offering them shade. Take a look at number 9. The Degel Machaneh Ephraim says something amazing. V'zeu sha'amar ha'kosov, vish'anu tachas ha'etz. What does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Avraham Avinu says, you could sit under the tree, behei hayedua, dahainu bahatora, shehi eitz chayim lamachazikim ba. So the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, who was, you could see in the biography over here, was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, so he says something very beautiful. Vishanu tachas ha'etz, you could rest under the tree. The tree is a reference to Torah. How do we refer to Torah? As eitz chayim hi, it is a tree of life for those who choose to hold on to it. Therefore, says the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, Vishanu tachasei. So what does that mean? The Avraham Avinu was telling them, you could dwell underneath the tree of Torah. So on a simple level, what it could just mean is Avraham Avinu, remember, Avraham Avinu's derech, his derech in Kiruv, his approach to Kiruv was what? Feed him and teach him. Feed them and teach them. But first feed them, because if the best way to a person's soul is through their stomach. So feed them, take care of them. But on a deeper level, what it means is establish a personal relationship with someone. Show someone you care about them. When you feed someone, what you're saying is, I care about you. Okay, if you tell me you care about me, then I'll be receptive to what you have to say about my soul. If you don't care about me, then why should I listen to anything you have to say? So on the basic level, perhaps Degel Machaneh Ephraim is, Avraham Avinu is saying, wash your feet, sit down, relax, you'll have something to eat, and let's spend some time under the tree. Let's spend some time exploring or plumbing the depths of monotheism together. But we could take this a step further. And what the Torah is telling us over here is not simply an insight into Avraham Avinu's Hachnas HaSarchim, but a message for our lives. Take a look at number 10. There's an incredible Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Am Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. This is actually a very dramatic Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, Pam achas hisi mahalich baderach. One time I was traveling. Upaga bi adam echad. And then I bumped into a guy. V'nasan li shalom. He said shalom aleichem. V'achzati lo shalom. Amr li Rebbe. Me'eza makamarta. So the man said to me, Rebbe, where are you from? Amarti lo me'ir gidola shal chachamim v'shal sofer money. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, well, I'm from a very large city where there are yeshivas and shuls and talmidei chachamim. So Amr li Rebbe, Ritzoncha shetidor imalu bim komenu. V'ani etein lecha elef alfei dinari zav v'avanim tovos u'margolios. So listen to this. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma gets a job offer. What's his job offer? He says, Rebbe, will you come move to our town? Now, what does the man offer Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma? What does he offer him?
Money.
Money. Money. And plenty of it. Plenty of it. Rebbe, you could be the Rav of the town. You could be the posek. You could sit and learn. You could relax. You don't have to worry about the parnasa. Come and live with us. Amarti lo. So what does Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma say? Amarti lo. Number 10, four lines down. Bini. My son, if you give me all the money in the world, I will never live anywhere but a city of Torah. Apparently, again, this other place that he was being invited to live in had a lot of affluence, but did not have a lot of spirituality. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, thank you so much for the generous offer, but I can't relocate myself to a place that is not a Makom Torah. Why? Listen, and this is the part of the Mishnah we're focusing on. Lefi, Shebishas Petiraso Shala Adam, Ein Melavin Lola Adam, Lo Kesef Lo Zav Lo Avanim Tavos Magalios. You know, when a person dies, and the coffin is being escorted out, so his gold and his silver, his money, his precious jewels, they do not escort him. But what does? Ela Torah, Umaasin Tovin Bilvat. The only things that escort the Aron, the only thing that escort the mace after 120 is none of the wealth that he or she accumulated, but only their Torah and their Ma'asim Tovim. What does this have to do with anything? So take a look at number 11. So the Be'er HaChaim, Rav Elimelech Biderman, who is the son of the Lulav Rebbe, who just writes beautiful, beautiful essays on the Parsha, says something dramatically amazing. He writes in number 11, Va'ala Torah, Yish'an Heitev, Ki Hi Hanosenes Chaim La'osea Bezeh Olam. So the Be'er HaChaim says something very beautiful. So remember again, Avraham Avinu says what phrase? V'hishanu tachas ha'etz. Rest. So hishanu literally means what? Literally like support yourself. Lean on. Lean on the tree. Lean on the tree. The Degel Machane Ephraim told us what tree are we talking about over here? The tree of Torah. The tree of Torah. Lean on, what does that mean? Lean on the tree of Torah. Va'ala Torah Yishanaitiv number 11. Ki hi hanosenes chayim lo'osel b'zeh olam. Because it's only the tree that is going to give your life meaning. It is only the tree that is going to give you fulfillment. One more piece, then we'll try this again. Take a look at number 12. The Be'er HaChaim quotes a beautiful mashal. V'anim shahu, la'achar me'eva esrim, after 120, nikra adam la'ashid nishmasa li'otzro, v'lamo b'din lefanav. After 120, a person's soul is called back, and we have to give an accounting for the lives we led. Ha'kesev ha'azav asher u'kasha acharem kol yimechayav, v'leilosav, lo yeitzu acharem mipesach ha'vayis. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, the gold, the silver, the money, the things that I've acquired, they will not follow me when the casket is being taken out. Now who does follow me? Achareim yavo b'nei mishpachto ukrovav shema mishochach kama pamim bayom halalu yilaveu atzimas agav lo yoser. So it sounds a little bit depressing, but I promise it's going to have a happy ending. So says the Be'er HaChaim something amazing. A person dies, and as the mace is being taken out, the gold doesn't follow him, the silver doesn't follow him, my house doesn't follow me, my car doesn't follow me, my vacations don't follow me, nothing follows me. Who does follow me? My family. Where does my family follow me to? Where do they follow me to? To the cemetery, to the kever. And then what happens? They remain there until the grave is filled in, and then what? They go home. They go home. They go home. At some point, they have to go home, because they have to go on with their lives as well. So nothing stays with me. My gold's not with me, my silver's not with me, my money's not with me, my mishpacha has to go home at some point in time. What does stay with me? Rak ha-Torah v'ha-mitzos, shebekoshi pagash v'ha-mechayiv, he-mavtichen la'amod li'amino ba'amdo lifnei beizdin shamala. So ultimately, says the Be'er HaChaim, he's actually quoting, this is the Chafetz Chaim's mashal, something so beautiful, that at the end of the day, the one thing that is yours forever, the one thing that accompanies you in every stage of your life, in this world and the next, is the Torah you learned, are the mitzvos you performed, are the chassadin that you have done. Those are the things that remain with you. The things you purchase, the things you acquire, they don't even leave the house with you. Your family who does leave the house with you spends some time at your burial, but then has to go home. They have to go home. They can't live with you in the cemetery. They can't follow you where you're going. So the only thing that remains with you in this world, and the next, is your Torah, is your chesed, are your mitzvos. That says the Dagel Machaneh Ephraim. That says the Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is the meaning of this pasuk in the Chumash. Avraham Avinu is teaching us a lesson. You know, sometimes people say things with prophetic import that they don't even realize has prophetic import. Avraham Avinu just thinks he's inviting these guys to get some shade. But what do we take from it? Avraham Avinu is telling us, V'hishanu tachas ha'etz. Anchor yourself. Support yourself on the tree. Make Torah. Make spirituality a priority in life. You know, the amazing part is, I mentioned this before, you know, everyone, all of us are naturally born with a void. With a void. There's an emptiness inside of us. Shmuel programmed us this way. Why? Because what does he want us to do in life? Fill the void. What's the great challenge? Right? What you choose to fill it with. I've mentioned this before, because I can't really, like, you see, like, people, like, why is Tom Cruise drawn to Scientology? Why did Madonna take on a Hebrew name and learn Kabbalah? Like, what's the, and these are just two examples. It feels strange bringing up these examples in the middle of a Chumash, but you understand, it's very profound. These people have more money than God. They have more stuff than anyone could ever have. They have fame. They have everything that people think is going to make them happy, they have. Yet what? There's an emptiness. So the amazing part is there are some people. By the way, to bring it a little bit more back to the world of Kedusha, Shlomo HaMelech had this same thing. When does Shlomo HaMelech write Koheles? When does he write Koheles? After he has everything. He has palaces. He has fame. He has grandeur. He has wealth. Everything. And yet there's still an emptiness inside my heart. So we see it today. There are people who have everything, and yet after they have everything, I can't buy another car because there's nowhere to put it. I can't build a bigger house because I already don't visit 3/4 of the house. I can't make more money because already I need 10 lifetimes to be able to spend it all. But I still feel empty. So what do they come back to? They come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they come back to God, or they come back to religion in some way. That's what the pasuk is telling us. The pasuk says, you know what, this key to success in life is fill the void with the right things. Because it is so easy to get caught up and think, I can fill the void with this, and I can fill it with this experience, and this fun thing, and this possession. And by the way, as I always say, Judaism is not an ascetic religion. Enjoy the gashmias, enjoy the physicality, enjoy the materialism. But just understand that it's not going to make you whole. And just understand, it's not going to make you happy. And just understand that it'll never make you content. You will enjoy it. It can make life easier. It can make life a little bit more enjoyable. But it will never fill the void. There's only one thing that fills the void. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Torah. That's mitzvos. That's the message. V'hish'anu tachas ha'etz. All of us need to anchor ourselves in something. All of us need to support ourselves on something. All of us need to fill the void with something. Avraham Avinu tells us, although he didn't even realize he was telling it to us, V'yishanu tachas ha'etz. Anchor yourself in spirituality. Anchor yourself in the service of God. Anchor yourself in holiness. And you will fill the void. And you will feel content with being filled in that way. One last piece and then we'll stop. Number 13, the Be'er HaChaim goes on, and then we'll just bring this all together. The Be'er HaChaim says so beautifully, there's one more lesson to be learned in this. And he says, HaRav HaKadosh HaImre Yosef Mevaras HaKasov Yukach Namat Ma'iv Rachatzu Ragleichem Vishun Tachas Ha'ich Ki Bevo'o Lil Mo Torah V'moli Bechaton Mikaf Regel Va'ad Rosh Ve'in Bo Mesom. Furthermore, sometimes what happens? A person says, I want to be a spiritual being. I want to be a spiritual being, but there's one problem. What's the problem? I'm flawed. I'm broken. I'm spiritually tarnished. I've done so many things wrong in my life that even if I wanted to be a holy person, I'm not even sure it's possible for me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the answer. I should say, Avraham Avinu gives us the answer without even realizing that he gave it to us. And what does he say? Yukach na ma'at mayim. Mayim, throughout the writings of Chazal, always refers to what? Always refers to Torah. Because just like water is life-sustaining, Torah spirituality is life-sustaining as well. Yukach na ma'at mayim, yikach v'yilmad ma'at Torah, she'en mayim ala Torah, So listen to how beautiful this is, and with this we'll conclude. He says so beautifully, the Torah is also giving us the incredible blueprint for growth. What's the blueprint for growth? Baby steps. Baby steps. Sometimes we think that in order to be good, I have to be totally good. Sometimes we think that in order to affect change, I have to affect all of the change at once. And generally, if you try to comprehensively change your entire self at once, what normally happens? You fail. So what does the Torah tell us? What does Avraham Avinu tell us? Just start. Yukachna ma'at mayim. Just take a little bit of water. What is Torah? What is ruchnius? What is spirituality? Just take a little bit of Torah. V'rachatzu raglechem. Sometimes, again, my feet get a little bit dirty because, to be honest, I'm journeying in all the wrong places. So just take a little bit of water and wash off your feet. Just take a little bit of water and cleanse yourself. Just take a little bit of water and you'll see, just by immersing yourself in the sea of spirituality, even for just a little bit, it changes you. And over time, after enough change, then v'hish anu tachas ha'etz. There will come a time where you will be able to totally anchor yourself in the realm of spirituality. So if you bring this all together, it turns out that from this little pasuk Dalid, we end up learning so many profound and beautiful and incredible life lessons. So remember again from one little pasuk of Vihish Anuta Yukach Na Ma'atmayim, take a little bit of water, wash your feet and rest under the tree. We learn five different lessons. Lesson number one is the lesson of reciprocity. Hashem Tzilcha, what you put in is what you get out. What Avraham got himself, what he exerted himself for, God exerts himself for. What Avraham outsources, God outsources. Life is about reciprocity. If you're willing to put in the effort, then ultimately, again, you will get something better out. If you don't want to work, then don't expect results. Hashem Tzilcha, the Ribono Shel Olam is my shadow. What you get out, what you are willing to put in. Message number two, make sure to wash the dirt at the entranceway of the house. The difference between an Avram and a Lot is not how many hours you learn. The difference between an Avram and a Lot is not how much tzedakah you give. The difference between an Avram and a Lot is what influences you allow into your home. What influences do you allow into the inner sanctum of your life? You have to learn to love and accept everyone for who and what they are. Love them on their turf. Accept them on their turf. But in your home, be vigilant and be careful with the influences, ultimately again, and with the avak, with the dirt that you allow into your house. Message number three. The Radak teaches us, don't build your ruchnius on the backs of others. Make sure, again, that if you want to grow, that you're willing to put in the effort. Don't put the effort of your growth on the back of someone else. In other words, that even when engaged in the dynamic pursuit of spiritual growth, a person must be ever aware, ever cognizant, and ever sensitive to the feelings and ultimately, again, to the needs of the other. Message number four, which ultimately is Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, is Hishanu Tachas Ha'etz. All of us have a void in life. We all have a void. The Shbaruch created us that way. And our job in life is to fill the void. Make sure you fill the void with the right things. Anchor yourself. You know, rest. Support yourself. Al ha'etz. Not on a tree, but on the tree. If I fill my void with spirituality, if I fill my void with Torah, I fill my void with chesed, I fill my void with mitzvos, then at some point in time, I will feel full. But if I fill it with all the wrong things, then Nebuch, I'll walk through life with a gaping hole in my soul. And the final message, I think we're up to number four, five. Good. Final message, message number five, is that Ribono Shel Olam doesn't expect perfection. All he asks for is growth. All he asks is for me to take a step. All he wants is that today should just be a little bit better than yesterday. And that tomorrow should just be a little bit better than today. How do we know that? Because what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us in his Torah? Avraham Avinu says it. Yukach na, not mayim, but what? Ma'at mayim. Mayim, water is Torah. Yukach na ma'at mayim. I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need you to go out and take the entire body of mayim, the entire body of the entire Torah. Embrace a little bit of spirituality. Engage in a little bit of dynamic growth. Try to whatever the best of your ability to detach yourself from the impurities of life. To detach yourself from those things that are holding you back. And ultimately, if you take on just a little bit of beautiful holy water, and that didn't sound right, but if you take on a little bit of spiritual water each and every day, and you wash off a little bit of the negative things that hold me back every single day, then I'll get to the point of Vihishanu Tacha Sa'itz. I'll get to the point ultimately again where I'm not just engaged in recreational spirituality, but I'm anchored in my Torah, I'm anchored in my spirituality, I'm anchored in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. How are you? How are you doing?